You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
Morning, everybody. Happy we're in summer, right? Sort of. It's 60-ish, but we're going to own it. We're in Wisconsin. It doesn't matter. It is summer, and you look like summer. I'm excited. So I was preparing, we're starting a new sermon series. We're going to be talking about parties throughout the summer, right? It's a good time to have parties in Wisconsin. And I was reflecting on, I don't know what your experience growing up was like in your world, popular parties like a wedding reception. And wedding receptions for me, growing up in majority white culture in America, and especially I was kind of in the subculture of the holiness movement, church culture. My wedding receptions that I attended were not super exciting. Most of them took place in the church basement and consisted of like rows of folding metal chairs and cake and punch, and kind of sitting politely eating your cake and punch. If we were really lucky, it also had like little bowls of mixed nuts and these things called butter mints. Anyone familiar with the bowls of butter mints? Was this anyone else's experience? The butter mints, which were, to me as a kid, the most exciting part of the wedding reception because I had this sort of unsupervised access to free candy. So I'd eat these piles of butter mints, which actually weren't even that appealing, but as a kid, you're like, it's a bowl of colorful candy, so I'm going to eat it. So anyone else familiar with this scene? And if this was your wedding reception, I mean no disrespect, because I grew up in this culture myself. And so I'm not busting on your beautiful sacred day. Our wedding reception was maybe just a notch above that. It was kind of scandalous because we had dancing at ours. So we kind of like took it up a notch. But this is kind of how I grew up in this kind of rather sterile environment. And, you know, even if you didn't grow up in that kind of environment, you can sort of imagine it, that this was, I think, a far cry from the kind of celebrations that God intends for his family to have. And actually, what's interesting is in the Torah, which is like part of the Old Testament, God actually commanded his people, the Israelites, to have a huge celebrations 3 times a year, to actually put aside a whole chunk of their income to throw these big parties to celebrate life in the kingdom of God. If you look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 14, starting in verse 22, it says, "Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord always. But if that place is too distant for you, if you've been blessed by the Lord your God and can't carry all your tithe," so in other words, if you're like filthy rich and you have like too much cattle and grain and all the good stuff, because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name on is so far away for you to carry all your loot, then you can exchange your stuff, all your cattle and your new wine and your produce, and your tithe for silver, and then take the silver with you and go to the place your Lord God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like. Cattle, sheep, wine, or fermented drink, which is in the Hebrew, that actually is translated as like strong drink, or anything you wish. So whatever you want to throw a great party. So, I don't know, like, we do homemade pizzas, you may get, like, carne asada, like, whatever, like, your, like, delicious, you know, food is. I see our friends that would make amazing Korean barbecue at our gatherings that we've missed tremendously, you know, like the best meat, the best stuff, like, great bottles of wine, like, whatever, kombucha, you know, whatever's your thing, which would be a great party, you know, buy all that stuff. If you want to get some face painters, if you want to, you know, fly in some great musicians, like, take all your stuff and to throw a great party. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of your Lord, your God, and rejoice. Rejoice means celebrate. Full of joy. We're celebrating the goodness of this abundance. We're celebrating life together in the kingdom of God. We're honoring God, showing our gratitude to God. What kind of God commands you to blow a significant portion of your income on a big party. Well, this is a God that is full of joy. Do you know that God is the most joy-filled being in the universe? Do you ever think about that? Like, God is the most joyful being in the universe. This is the same God who hundreds of years later, when he joined us as a fellow human being, his first miracle was to change water to wine at a wedding festival when they ran out of wine, a wedding feast, which back then their parties usually lasted about 7 days. They were like, they weren't just like a few hours one night. They were like ongoing celebrations. So what happened? What happened? How do we go from this party, which apparently consisted of a lot more food than punch and cake and buttermints that included everyone and lasted for days, to this kind of polite cake on your lap, sitting in a folding chair in the basement of your church kind of party? Well, I think a lot happened. And certainly this example I'm giving is very representative of my kind of unique white American holiness movement church culture. So I know this isn't everyone's experience of parties in your past growing up. But for me personally, in the holiness movement I grew up in, there was kind of a reaction to the world's approach to finding life through celebration, which often does result in abuse and all kinds of dehumanizing behavior. But rather than, as a reaction to this, they just instilled a lot of prohibitions rather than reclaiming the party, which was about gratitude and joy and inclusion and celebration. They just reacted to all the things associated with the party, and as a result, we got buttermints. And so while there are really good reasons to recognize the emptiness found in the world's attempt to feed your soul and bring you into the full measure of the joy that Jesus offers, we certainly weren't meant to react by just becoming these sort of uptight, miserable people that are known more for what we're against than what we're for. We're meant to be people that carry joy and celebration in our beings and carry this into the environments that we go to. But the truth is, this isn't often the case, is it? Even if we occasionally can muster up the energy for a party, many of us live rather depleted lives day by day. Many of us don't live with that sort of party in our pocket experience in our own souls. And yet, Jesus often compared the kingdom of God to a party. As we're gonna be looking at throughout the summer, we're gonna be looking at stories of when Jesus was at a party and what happened at that party, and parables he told where he would say, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like a wedding feast, or like this celebration. And then what is he showing us about the nature of the kind of celebrations we're invited into and that we're invited to bring with us into the environments we go into? And so we're gonna talk about things like practicing hospitality, how Jesus shared the good news of the gospel at parties and primarily around a table. He didn't necessarily like have big evangelism campaigns, right? He just actually hung out with people around a table. And what it means in real time for us to be people that celebrate and bring the joy and hope that accompany this way of being into the places we go. So today is kind of an introduction to this series. I want to address the struggle that many of us may have to be a joyful person, to be a playful person, to be a hopeful person. And I want us to consider together for just a few minutes this morning that we might be trying to find joy by avoiding suffering rather than coming close to it. So let's look with me at the end of this section in Deuteronomy that I introduced. Looking again at Deuteronomy 14, starting in verse 27. So the rest of this, after he talks about the big party, he says, "And do not neglect the Levites living in your town, for they have no allotment or inheritance of their own. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your town, so the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners and the fatherless and the widows who live in your town may come and eat and be satisfied. and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. And so he's including in here lists of all the other recipients besides just like the chosen people of God that should be part of the celebration, be also taken care of in the process. So these would have been any sort of vulnerable people in the day. So it includes the Levites, which were part of the people of God, but they were set apart for full-time ministry. So they wouldn't have owned land or owned their own houses or had secular jobs. So it may have been similar to kind of how Dave grew up as the son of pastors in the Salvation Army. So the Salvation Army owned their home, and all of their bills were paid for and taken care of by basically tithes and donations through the church. And so, but they had no like actual, they were still like dependent on the rest of the church to take care of them and meet their needs. And so, and then he includes in them the alien, the non-Israelite. So these would be like immigrants and refugees and people from the outside, the widows, the orphans. Includes all these people that would be most vulnerable to exploitation and poverty. So include them in your excess. Make sure they're part of the celebration and taken care of as well. And so I think for many of us, this idea of being celebratory type people, people that carry joy in our beings, that carry hope, that are playful, are hard for us because many of us feel impoverished in our souls a lot too. Many of us are suffering, and we're suffering real things. I mean, we may be suffering from an ongoing health struggle, or someone we love, it has an ongoing health struggle or a mental health struggle, or we may have fractured relationships within our family. We may have teenagers or young adult kids who are struggling. Like, these are all real painful and difficult circumstances that are real in our lives. And so, or some of us are like, you know what, I can't really point to something circumstantially that's happening, but I just know, like, I just feel depressed a lot. You know, I just feel anxious. I feel depleted in my soul. And so we look to what the world has to offer us in terms of celebration, right? Like, we're like, well, what's the answer? How do I deal with the pain that I'm struggling with myself? And the primary message we get from the world is escape. Escape your suffering. Escape the pain and the emptiness by stocking up on more stuff and more pleasurable experiences. Just fill your soul with more purchases, more activity. And I'm just wondering, like, how's that working? I mean, if you look around you, we all live in the wealthiest nation in all the world in all of history. And yet, we are the most depressed, the most anxious, the most addicted we have ever been. So the world's form of celebration is not working. So what does kingdom celebration look like? Because it is not an escape from suffering, it is a response to suffering. Now I want to show you a video, and I showed this in church about 4-ish years ago, so some of you may be familiar with it. But I got I borrowed, tweaked it a little bit, but I was inspired. The title of this sermon series is called The Kingdom of Heaven is a Party. There's a book called The Kingdom of God is a Party, written back in the 80s by a sociologist, evangelist, preacher-type guy named Tony Campolo, and I know I've mentioned him before, and I was participated in one of his missional projects into the inner city in Camden, New Jersey, back when I was in college. But I just want to show you a video clip from him, and then I'll come and kind of wrap it up. And if you are watching at home, we can't show this to you, but we have the YouTube video in the description. If you look in the description, you can watch it along with us, but the screen is just going to go quiet for about 7 minutes, and you can just watch it on your own, all right? You know, so what happened? What happened here? In this scene, he's in this dingy diner in the middle of the night that filled up with sex workers, living one of the most dehumanizing lives imaginable. It's this very dark scene indeed, right? I mean, it would have been easy to kind of just leave feeling depressed, letting like that darkness fill you, and you just walk away with it. or just look away, just escape, right? Like, I don't want this in my soul. So I'm going to look around for something I can buy or something I can do to not see this. But instead, through the lens of the kingdom, Tony saw an opportunity to celebrate. He saw an opportunity to throw a party, to celebrate Agnes, to give her dignity, to say, despite every message that you have received up until this point, tonight we are going to let you know that we see you as a fully human, created in the image of God. Tonight we're going to celebrate you. And I imagine that Tony's been to tons of birthday celebrations in his life, as many of us have. But this is one that he will probably not forget, that will stand out as one of the best birthday parties he's ever been to. Because hopefully, yes, it gave Agnes joy. And hopefully, yes, it gave Harry and his wife joy. But I imagine it gave Tony joy too. That Tony himself was filled with celebration and joy. Because we belong to another world, but we often don't realize it until we share it. Until we start to give it away. Until we start to invite others into it. When hope collides with despair, when heaven's riches collide with poverty, when freedom collides with oppression, that's when the party starts. That's when we are flooded with the kind of joy that we can carry ourselves in the midst of real painful circumstances and unmet longings that we all experience as part of the human condition. You know, I'm going to close with this, and I know I've shared this story probably more than once, but for me personally, it's just an image that God brings back to my mind often as this picture of celebration, this picture of the kingdom colliding with some of the painful realities of our world. So I mentioned earlier, if you aren't familiar with it, back when I was in college, so I was about 19 or 20, I spent a summer in Camden, New Jersey, with an organization that this guy Tony had set up called Urban Promise. And at the time, Camden was considered like the second poorest city in the country. And so it was kind of just, most of the houses, you know, had things over their windows to protect from break-ins and gunshots. And, the graduation rate in that area was, you know, ridiculously low. And they were kind of mostly project areas. And so we would move in and do camps with the kids and work with the youth and get to know the families and worship in the local churches and all of that. And what we did is every week we took the kids on some kind of field trip. And this one week, we were taking all the kids to the beach. So they were about an hour from the ocean. So we loaded up all the kids on buses, and we went to the beach. And even though they weren't far from the beach, for many of these kids, it was their first time actually going to the ocean or going to the beach. And there was one little boy in my camp that I just fell in love with over the course of the summer. He was an immigrant from Vietnam. His name was Hung. He was just this adorable boy with this crazy shaggy hair. He was very poor. He never wore shoes the entire time I was there. And he had kind of a disability where his knees would kind of turn in. And so he would still do kickball and all the stuff with us, but he couldn't run or walk super well. And this particular day when we're at the beach having our field trip, I remember having this moment where I was just out in the water. I love the ocean, and it's just this incredible experience for me to just enjoy the majesty of God's creation. And so I'm out in the water. I'm just, you know, looking at the water, enjoying like the surf coming up. And I look back and I see Hung, who very, very possibly may have been his first time at the ocean, at the beach. And he's about thigh high in the water. And he's just going crazy, as kids do at the ocean. I mean, he's just like throwing the water in the air. He's laughing. He's leaping over the waves. I mean, he was just full of all the joy, just taking in this magnificent gift from God. And somehow in that moment, I just remember like almost gasping. Like something happened right in that moment. Something was deposited in my heart where I thought, this is what I want to be doing the rest of my life. I want these moments where you see the kingdom crashing head in with some form of human suffering. So this is a boy that kind of had so many things working against him in his little life. You know, he was very poor. He was an immigrant. He was disabled. And yet, God met him in that day, and I got to just see the joy through his eyes, see that experience of the ocean for the first time. And there's something about that collision when the kingdom comes close to suffering, where we begin to enter into real celebration. And it's the kind of celebration we can't get from the world. Isaiah 55 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair." Why spend money on what is not bread? And so today and over the course of this summer, I want to invite you, what might it look like for us to take steps toward play, toward celebration, toward joy in these weeks and months ahead in very practical ways, by not avoiding suffering through escapism and self-indulgence, but rather coming close to it with hope and celebration. Some practical steps you can take is we've been encouraging you and inviting you to participate in our summer outreach that will be happening every Wednesday night through the summer. And that is a way you can come and just bring the kingdom out of the building into the park. There's opportunities just to come and play. There's opportunities to pray. I know I've talked about it a lot, so I won't go through all the details, but we'd love for you to be part of that, but I would really love for you to sign up so I know that you'll be participating and when you'll be participating. And so if you're interested in signing up, on the Connect card and the QR code on your table, you scroll down, there's a place you can specifically sign up for the dates and how you want to be involved. You can also go to the email in your newsletter and you can sign up from there. But for some of you, this may look even simpler than that. You might just invite someone that you work with to lunch or to go for a walk because someone that just needs to be included, someone that needs to be seen, someone that might just need an experience of love, of joy in their life, someone that needs to be seen and celebrated. Think about ways that you can bring some play into your summer to celebrate God's goodness, even though life is hard, that you can still celebrate what is good. Throw a barbecue, plan a picnic at the lake, host a game night, make gluten-free s'mores around a fire and invite some neighbors. Think about ways that you can host a party, bring the party, be the party. Why don't we stand? Worship team, you want to come back up? As I was praying this morning about what God might want to do during ministry time, some of you may just want to respond to some specific things that were stirred up in you during worship or during the message. And so I just invite you to do that, whatever that might be. One of the things that came to me as I was listening, I heard God say, "Go to the place I will show you," which is in the Bible somewhere. And I had a sense of what he was saying is some of you are like, "Gosh, I feel stirred in my spirit, but I'm not sure where to start or what to do. Like, I'm not quite sure what that might actually look like." And I feel like God might show you. Like maybe there is somebody in your neighborhood or a coworker, or there's some, you know, maybe it seems like a small thing, but it's not a small thing. And God might highlight a person for you or an idea of something you could do where you can start to bring the kingdom into spaces that need joy, that need celebration. And I think what's beautiful about it is then we begin to experience that joy in places we're depleted in our own soul. So ask God, where's the place you're inviting me to go? And the place might just be a person or a people or an idea. So that was one sense I had. I also had a couple specific things that were not specifically related to the sermon. But I sensed that somebody or maybe a few people are going through something where they feel kind of exposed or vulnerable, is the sense I had, and that God wanted to bring like a covering or protection to you. So there's just something, you're just feeling this sense of, I just feel very exposed and vulnerable right now. I just need God's covering, God's sense of his protection. And the other word I got was, there's a sense that some of you are feeling a lot of fear or anxiety. And I think some of that is you're grasping a hold of something. You're afraid to let go of something that needs to be let go of so you can actually experience some freedom from that fear. And so that was the other sense I got. So if any of those words speak to you, or if you just have something you'd love prayer for, whether you need healing in your body or in a relationship or anything at all that I haven't mentioned, there'll be several of us in the back here that would just be delighted to pray for you. And if it's full, just keep, we'll stay and pray all day as long as we need to. So please come back and receive prayer. And if anyone else has a word for the group, then you can just come mention it to me or Dave or Mark or Carol, and we could share it from up front.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.